So what can you do? What can you do realistically, you know, that takes into account what you are about? Well, here is what you can do. Ignore the activists, ignore the revolutionaries. We have to face bullets, we have to face military trials. It doesn't matter really what you do. It doesn't matter if Facebook is going to reveal my information or not. I have to assume that I'm being constantly watched, that I'm being that everything about me is public. It doesn't matter. But what matters is ordinary users who use your products to practice their agency. When you decide that they cannot decide to choose a pseudonym, then you are negating them the right to negotiate their identity. The right to negotiate your identity is, it's not in the Charter of Human Rights, but it's actually essential to most rights. Negotiated identity is very important. I get to choose whether to reveal who I am and how to reveal who I am and decide who I am on my own terms and on my own basis.
Page 248. I've reached my limit. Today, the 18th of August 2014, at 4 p.m, I celebrated my last meal in prison with my fellow inmates. After seeing my father battling death, trapped in a body that won't obey him, I've decided to start an open hunger strike until I'm free. The health of my body is of no value as long as it's forced to submit to an unjust power in an open-ended imprisonment that has nothing to do with the law or with justice. The idea of a hunger strike has crossed my mind before, but I've always put it off because I didn't want to cause my family further suffering, especially since the Ministry of the Interior is known to make examples of hunger strikers by clamping down on them. But I realise that my family is suffering more with every passing day that I'm in prison. The reason my younger sister Sanaa has been imprisoned, along with others who were protesting outside the presidential palace, is that they were demanding freedom for political prisoners. They imprisoned my sister because she demanded my freedom. My family's energy has been torn to shreds by two prisons, and my father's heart has been broken by two trials. He delayed life-saving surgery more than once because of the cursed Shura Council trial. They snatched me from the arms of my son Khalid, who was still struggling to overcome the psychological impact of my first imprisonment. Then came the Ministry of the Interior's inhumane treatment with their so-called humane gesture, which involved allowing me to visit my father while he was in intensive care, all of which confirmed for me that postponing the decision to go on hunger strike would not help my mother Layla, my sister Mona, or my wife Manel. In order to allow me to visit my father, the Cairo Security Directorate tried to empty the hospital ward of all its patients, doctors, nurses, and visiting families. More than once, they informed us of a time for the visit, only to cancel it shortly afterwards. And in the end, they grabbed me from my prison cell at dawn with the same compassion with which they dragged me at dawn from my home. The commanding officer was so concerned with making sure I didn't escape, convinced that everything was an elaborate performance, that no one was actually sick, and that we were all conspiring to keep him from his time off, that I ended up being handcuffed to the bars of the police van. The finale came as they forced a camera on us, filming, against our will, a prisoner held without charge and an ICU patient. That's when I realised that postponing my hunger strike was not relieving my family of their suffering, but was turning them into prisoners like me, subject to the diktats and whims of an institution devoid of humanity and incapable of mercy. Every time I've faced trials and prisons, I've welcomed them. Not only because it's the price you pay for political dissent, but because it would be an opportunity to fight for the principles of a fair trial and for the guarantees it offers. Every court hearing or detention renewal was a chance to argue against the use of exceptional courts and a chance to support the judges who were aligned with true justice. We thought they were many. And every day in prison was a chance to remind society of those who were unjustly detained, a chance to put pressure on political groups and the media to stop the daily miscarriage of justice. But when I finally came before a civilian judge, I found less justice there than in the mightiest of exceptional courts, a complete lack of procedures, laws, or standards, and in spite of us recounting the details of dozens of cases, we've never heard a single judge object to what goes on at the Tora Police Institute. Meanwhile, politicians tell themselves they've done their bit by begging for mercy on account of our revolutionary history, with no mention of these flagrant miscarriages of justice. My time in prison brings us no closer to a state that abides by its own laws or to courts that are concerned with justice. The only thing that prison does now is fill me with hate. Since the start of the bloody fight between the regime and the Islamists, I've spoken more than once about how we shouldn't get involved. When conservative forces who are traditionally entrusted with upholding stability enter into a polarised conflict that has no end until one force subjugates or annihilates the other, then the role of those who align themselves with revolution is to put an end to the conflict and stop society from becoming mired in antagonism. That's why I said several times that not only should we denounce the crimes committed by both sides and support the victims regardless of who they are, we should also distance ourselves from the fight by only making demands based on the right to life, bodily dignity, and individual freedom. Right now, the very foundations of life are under threat. I'm not alone in the fight to save the bare essentials of life. My comrades are many, even though their voices have been drowned out by the noise of this conflict. But my closest comrades in the fight for the right to life, bodily dignity, and individual freedom have always been my family. Mona organises volunteers to stop trials in exceptional courts. My mother is in contact with victims of torture, and her mere presence on the ground protects young activists and provides a reliable eyewitness. Sana provides support and material assistance to those held unjustly in prison, while my father defends all of us in court, overturning laws by exposing their unconstitutionality and gaining freedom for those wrongly detained by magically achieving innocent verdicts. Sometimes he convicts one of the torturers with verdicts rarer than miracles. Manal works alongside me in supporting and empowering victims and activists with the technical support and expertise needed to organise campaigns and document rights violations. My repeated imprisonment is a chapter in my family's history of struggle. Together, we build on the work and struggle of the thousands who never give up and the millions who sometimes rise up. Today, the chain is broken. Sana is in prison and needs someone to look after her instead of her looking after me. Manal struggles alone to protect Khalid from the consequences of my imprisonment and the loss of income. Mona and my mother take turns to care for my father, who is unable to defend me in court. So I ask for your permission to fight today, not only for freedom, but for my family's right to life. Starting from today, I will deny my body food until I'm allowed to spend the night by my father's side while his body fights to hold on. There is no dignity for a body that's deprived of the embrace of its loved ones. I ask for your prayers. I ask for your solidarity. I ask you to pick up where I have left off, to fight, to dream, to hope. Ala Abdel Fattah, Tora Prison, 18th of August 2014.
We are calling for the immediate release of Ala Abdel Fattah. Join us on freealaa.net to find out how you can help.